Blog Talk Radio.
And by whom we cry out, Abba, Father.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Barr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Today is Monday, November the 14th, 2016. We welcome you here tonight. We pray all is well in your home and in your family. We just here tonight, and we have a special guest. We're going to speak to some pastors this evening from Shekinah Glory Deliverance Church in Fort Washington, Maryland. They're going to be our guests tonight, and we're going to share and talk a little bit about their ministry and what's going on there in Fort Washington and what they're doing. I just want to let my audience know I've met Pastor Stephanie, and she's part of a domestic violence coalition that we worked with there in PG County. We're going to touch a little bit on that, but then I met her husband, I met her and her husband again at this past Wednesday, the 9th, at the domestic violence gathering in Annapolis, Maryland, which was an event that we talked about a lot here on the show. And we understand that domestic violence is an important issue, especially in the body of Christ, within the church, and within the faith community. Because as we always say, it's something that we need to be proactive about. There's things that's going on in folks' homes, you know, in the body of Christ, in your congregations, and what is your strategy and plan to deal with it? So we encourage you. That's one thing we talked about here recently for the month of October, but it's going to be an ongoing thing because in ministries and churches, we all have plans. We have processes. We have procedures. We have those things, what to do if there's a blizzard and how to get contact with folks. We have whatever ministry you have, there's a format and there's a plan. There's a plan in place. And also, do you have a plan in place to deal with domestic violence? If someone comes to you in a service, in a Bible study, in a fellowship, a prayer service, and they're a victim of domestic violence, what is the plan? What is the plan in your ministry? How are you going to handle it? Do you know that you can send them to a safe place? Do you know what to do to get them help, to get them work, walk them through the process as spiritually as the deacons and elders and ministers and senior pastors? Is their plan in place? We have everything else in place. We can do the finances. We can set up communion. And this is also one of the things that we definitely need to be focused on and doing. Amen. But that's for another show. Tonight, we're just going to have a fellowship, and we're going to share a little bit about their ministry there in Fort Washington, Maryland. Amen. But first, let me open up the scripture in prayer, and then we're going to have a couple announcements, and then we're going to get right into the conversation. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight I'm reading from James chapter number 3, and I'm going to start at verse number 13. And I'm going to be reading tonight, starting at verse number 13. For those of you who know me, hold on 1 minute. I have a paper Bible here, and I got to flip a couple pages here. I got it. Here we go. The Word of God says, if you are wise and understanding God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitter, jealous, and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy, the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Father, we say thank you today, Lord God. Father, today we pray for the wisdom, Lord God. We pray for wisdom for men's lives, for the husbands, fathers, and sons, Lord God. We're praying, Lord God, that every man listening on this line, God, that they will have the wisdom that God has created, Lord God, that they will understand, Lord God, that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Father, we ask that you strengthen them, Lord God, that they will take their place, O God, in the kingdom, in the community, and in the home. They will lead, guide, protect, and also, God, we pray today, O God, for every marriage, O God, that may be in trouble, may be under pressure, may be being challenged, O God. We're praying for reconciliation, healing, And God, we today, God, ask that your Holy Spirit would touch their lives and strengthen them and keep them. Continue to watch over them and bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk, we're going to have Apostle Dwayne and Pastor Stephanie Bynum, and they're from Shekinah Glory Deliverance Church in Fort Washington, Maryland. We're going to bring them on. I have a couple of recommendations for my brothers. We got a lot of the brothers here to listen to, my regular listeners, that I want to shout out to. Both of these gentlemen we had on our show in the last couple of months, so we just wanted to plug their books and let you know these are good. Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming, and there's men in your circle that you may be able to bless and to give them guidance and direction, especially for the new year, that opportunity that we are watching night services. We go into the new year with a new purpose, a new direction, and a vision. And us as men of God, is someone that we should be holding accountable and someone holds us accountable. So the first book I want to share is Serve Yourself to Greatness, a book of affirmations from Reginald Grant. In this book, I've been through it and read it myself. It's a good book. It's a 30-day devotional discipling book. You can do it by yourself, do it with a group, or do it with your brother. And it just helps you. It gives some affirmations of manhood. Because, again, we know in this culture, manhood is starting to be redefined. Marriage is starting to be redefined. But us as men of God and of godly marriages, we have to be able to stand on God's word and God's definition for marriage and manhood. And this is one of the things we definitely encourage here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, is the fellowship of men and men coming together. Our second book tonight is The Best Man Project, Redefining Godly Manhood and Masculinity by Dr. Abraham Shanklin Jr. And he was on back in November. He's the pastor at the Center of Transformation in Hanover, Maryland. And we just encourage you to reach out and get that book also. Both of the books you can get on Amazon. I got both of mine from Amazon. So you can go to Dr. Abraham Shanklin and Reginald Gant. And you can also always go to our Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk. You'll see the link there on how to get the book and listen to. And also you can go there and listen to the our past broadcast where we did the interview and talk with them about their book and their visions for them, for the material that they produced. Also, if you're called in at 646-668-2636, you can also go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And you can also listen to the archive of the, you can go there for the link for the archive of those two interviews we had. And you can always go there to listen to the rebroadcast of this show and all our past shows there. Amen. So we encourage you to do that. And as always, you can, we're on Twitter. We are all on Twitter. Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. You can follow us. You can hook up with us and tweet us and reach out to us that way also. We encourage you, if you'd like to come on, join in the show, be a guest on the show, bring some topics of discussion to the show. Because what we do here, we try to talk about the issues that affect men as they leave their homes and their families and leave the community and the church and the issues that we go through. Because we know that, you know, every man has issues that he's dealing with, his past, present, or future. So we also like to touch on those things because we believe mentoring and discipling is the way to grow the church and grow men. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight, without any other further ado, we have Apostle Dwayne and Stephanie Bynum. Good evening. How are you? Can you hear me?
We're fine. How are you, sir?
Amen. Praise him. Thank you for joining us tonight. Apostle Dwayne, you there?
Apostle Dwight is here.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I'm
How
sorry.
You doing?
I'm sorry. That public school education. I apologize. I see the W. I got it. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, first of all, let's begin. Tell us about who is Apostle Dwight and Pastor Stephanie. Let's start with you, Apostle.
Well, I'm Apostle Dwight Bynum. I've been in ministry for over 20-something years, mostly standing with someone else, and God called me to launch out. And, you know, I'm prior military, been in law enforcement for 24 years. So I have a background of dealing with men and just dealing with people, period.
And I'm Pastor Stephanie. and the wife of Apostle Bynum, and together we have started Shekinah Glory Deliverance Church back in 2000 and it's been about 6 or 8 years now, 8 years now. And I also have a passion for people, for God's people, for helping God's people, and just do a lot of things there.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, again, I thank you for taking time out of your schedules. I know as pastors and leaders in the church, you know, you have busy schedules, but we appreciate you coming on tonight and joining us. And just want to share a little bit about your ministry and what you're doing there in Fort Washington. Well, let's start with Apostle. Tell me, let me ask you this. What is important to you in the church? What do you see as important in the church and in the body of Christ?
For me, the body of Christ, we need to build people. We are not building people. We have came to the concept of building buildings. My main concern is to build the individual person, because until the person become the church, they, you know, you can come in a building and never have church, because if you never become the church, how can you have church? So the individual is important to me.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, you're right. And sometimes we get caught up in that in a lot of building buildings and programs, but if we forget about the people, that's one of the things that we definitely like to talk about here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, because the mentoring process and the discipling process, I think, is slipped from its importance to what Christ directed us to do. And I think that one-on-one, or that, you know, that small group and that feel that we're really connected and we have that real, the word we have is fellowship. But fellowship is more than just sitting down and having something to eat. It's that mixing and blending of our lives together. So I think that I agree with you. That's one of those important things in the church. Pastor Stephanie, would you like to add something to that?
Yes, because, I mean, I definitely agree with the fact that spiritual growth is very important, because most people go to church just as a traditional thing to do. You know, they want to be able to say, hey, yes, I went to church that day. But are you really growing? Because they're still doing the same things that they continue to do year after year after year. So where is the growth within themselves spiritually? So I agree that spiritual growth is important.
Amen. And let me ask you this. We said you both seem to touch on it. When we talk about growth, you know, let's say this, because when we talk about growth, we want to see maturity, because again, as the scripture talks about, it talks about fruit. It talks about having, seeing people develop, seeing people's lives change. And I think that's one important thing, that we don't necessarily want to measure ourselves to each other, but there should be, if you've been saved a year, 5 years, 10 years, there should be something going on in your life. There should be some kind of difference. You shouldn't be, let me say it like this, because we encourage this a lot when we talk to folks. You should be doing the same things that you were doing when you first got saved. Because if we're born again, being born again means there's a life, there's a new life, and that life is development, and God seeks that. What do you think, Apostle?
Yes, I agree with you there. That when I think about, like you just said, the regeneration product, the renewing of the mind, the individual being renewed and restored and revived. You know, if you become renewed, something old has passed away, something new has regenerated. You know, but I think that comes with leadership in the church. You know, not just calling people to come in the house, but actually Jesus discipled them. Before he sent them out, he taught them well first. Then he sent them out to do a work. You know, and I think now we have become a church of, you know, we talk, you know, I said yesterday, we got some people that do, we got some people that talk, and we got some people that take. So for me, I think God needed more doers than talkers and takers.
Amen.
Because we have to teach people. You know, when I grew up in North Carolina, you know, everybody was teaching, the whole neighborhood. You know, if I said something or did something wrong, they didn't just look at me. They dealt with me, and then they called my parents, and they dealt with me. Nowadays, we don't got away from what got us to that place, and we have allowed the world to dictate how we run the church.
Amen. Amen, Apostle. Oh, man, you about to get it started in here. Amen. But you're right, and I think that, you know, what you're saying is true, and we, and again, as the body of Christ, we have to be proactive, because, you know, that scenario that you talked about, that community, a lot of us, we may have been raised in it, but we're not necessarily living in it right now because of society and because of a lot of things. You know, there's some certain neighbors we live in, we don't even know our neighbors on all four sides of us who they are. We come, we go, we go to work, we come in, we go out, and we don't really interact, you know, like and we don't, you know, it's that the proverb a lot of people like to quote, but in a lot of communities, you know, it's not a village anymore. And because we have privacy fences and decks and, you know, stuff like that, it prevents all of that. However, you know, I want to just all put out there, it's also, we have to look at also in our local congregations, are we really connected? Because I think that's also where it starts, because I'll say this, and I'll just see what y'all think. Because you know that, I'm going to be nice. You can't say certain things to certain people and certain people's children in the church. Anybody who's been in church a long time knows exactly what I'm talking about. Would y'all like to share? Because, you know, people's listening. Amen?
Y'all
left me out there, you know, all alone.
Now, church, I agree with you. You know, people come to church, but like you said, they don't want you to say anything until something go wrong. And then they want to call you to have you to step in to help. But, you know, reality is that to me, church is a place that you come to get taught. And I tell people, if you're not coming here to learn, and we should be able to learn from each other. And if we're not going to learn from each other, we're just wasting our time, because the reality is God is not going to give no one person everything. That's why he called it the body of Christ. So we come together to build up the body. And if we're not going to take what he gave us to use it the right way, we're really wasting time.
And Deacon Farr, not only just in the church, but even within families, you can't even help. You know, some sisters or some siblings get upset if you help or say something to their child.
Amen. And I agree. And again, these are the things, you know, that we have to teach people. We have to, because again, it comes back to the renewed heart. It comes back to being born again, to having that mindset that we're thinking differently. We're looking out for one another. I know there's a lot of scriptures that talk about the one another's, and are we really engaging folk in their lives and starting to come together to encourage and lift everyone up? And that's one of the things we talked when we were talking a little bit. We touched on it again, but I won't go back to it. About, you know, growth in the church and where we are. I mean, it's hard to understand how folk can be together for, you know, a couple of years and, you know, and their lives are not a little bit intertwined past the superficial church experience. You know, you touched on it earlier about, you know, I punched my spiritual time clock. Well, that's what I call it. That I've been to church, I've been there 2 hours, I went on Sunday, I'm good. And, you know, and my faith is whatever it is the rest of the week. And I think sometimes that's a struggle. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But tonight, you're listening to It's Just Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Paul. We're here with Apostle Dwight Bynum and his wife, Pastor Stephanie Bynum. And their church is Shekinah Glory Deliverance Church in Fort Washington, Maryland. Fort Washington, Maryland. Could you please give the contact information, address, and your church information to the audience, please?
Sure. Our address is 11410 Livingston Road, Fort Washington, Maryland, 20744. The phone number is 301-292-2351. We also have a website, which is the full name of the church, Shekinah Glory Deliverance Church.org. We can be found on social media, on Facebook. I myself is on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope as well.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, let me go. Well, let's talk a little bit about, because, you know, we're here, we're going to talk about your ministry a little bit. Well, how do, at Shekinah Glory Deliverance Church, how do you define church growth?
I define church growth as people spiritually maturing. You know, church growth to me is, what God has shared with me is, it's not how many people you have, it's the growth of the people that you have. If they have matured from one stage to the next, you know, Jesus spent time with the disciples, but before he sent them out, he knew that they was ready to go out. You know, my job is not to really pack the house, it's to prepare the people for whenever they go out, wherever they go out, to be prepared to disciple the next person that God puts in their life. Because a disciple makes another disciple, and if we teach people how to disciple other people and not worrying about trying to keep them and fill up a building, you know, we have to fill that building, which is the person, so they can go empty out into another building. So for me, church growth is building individuals to build other individuals.
So if you're going to a church, and like you said, if your life is not changing for the better, that means you're not getting convicted while you're in that service, which means you really need to question if you're in the right place, because you need to question if God is really there. Because the Spirit of the Lord is not there if you're not changing, if you're not feeling convicted. And we can go to church and get messages on what God says and what God say do this and God say don't do that. But are you really learning about God, the Spirit of God?
Amen.
So
amen.
You said about church growth.
Amen. Amen. Well, we got time. We got we got another 40 minutes. Amen. No. Amen. But yeah, you're right. There comes a time folk have to first. I think folk have to really hear the gospel, get connected with the gospel, and let the Holy Spirit move them to the point where that they see that. Because again, so many times in church, we have people punching a spiritual time clock, and they're not being. To be honest, I've been in church a while. I wasn't raised in the church, but coming to the church, I see folk who don't necessarily grasp it. You know what I mean? That God saved them for a purpose. God didn't save them just to make attendance, to be there every Sunday. Because if we don't get into the Word for ourselves and see what Jesus did, what Paul did, what Peter did, what the disciples went out and did after they were filled with the Holy Spirit to fulfill the Great Commission, and I believe that it comes from however you were raised, in our natural and in our spiritual. Whatever you started out with is going to reflect through the rest of your life. So if you were taught that you were, you know, you're supposed to go out and share the gospel, not necessarily be a pastor, minister, or whatever, but you as that person. I mean, now they call it, in some churches they call it lay leaders or whatever, but every one of us is called to be a minister and called to be an ambassador for the kingdom of God. But if folk don't, if they don't get that, if they're not taught that initially, then you're fighting against the grain later on. Because I've known folk who don't share the gospel and couldn't do, you know, even street evangelism or lead someone to understanding the gospel. You know, it was something I learned a long time ago, that 2-minute message. If you're stuck in an elevator, I mean, not stuck in an elevator. If you're riding an elevator with someone and you had 2 minutes, could you share the gospel with them? Without going to a full sermon and flipping through your Bible or going through your tablet and your phone and getting to read the Road to Romans, could you share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone in 2 minutes? And unless you taught that, you'll never know how to get it, or you've never required to know how to do it. You know, you understand what I'm saying? I think it's how, again, are we discipling disciples to be disciples? What do you think, sir?
Well, you know, I like what you just said, because at the end of the day, that's our job. Our job is to make Jesus known, to know him and make him known. You know, I tell people all the time, they ask me, what is my motto? To know, first of all, I have to know him before I can make him known to someone else. And for me to know him is not for me to talk about him. It's for my life to reveal it. I tell people, I don't have to tell people to carry a Bible for them to know that I'm saved. You know, they can watch me and pay attention to my life, because it's a way of life. It's a way of living. And most people, we think because we go to church, we safe. And there's no account. And the saddest thing about it, there's really no accountability. And I can't say all churches. In most churches, there's not really any accountability. That's why people go and say, and still don't grow, because we're not holding them accountable to grow. Like you said, we're not really conditioning and pulling in them. Like you said, if you wait late, now you got to start over. You know, and I tell people, as an apostle, we tear down, uproot, and rebuild. Because sometimes you have to tear down tradition and religions and then rebuild it. And that's why most people don't want to talk about apostles, but they'll talk about a bishop all day long. But that's another whole story for another whole time.
Amen, sir. You're going to be on the 2017 schedule, brother. Just hold on. Amen. Amen. We're going to take a quick break here. I got a commercial break, because I want to put something out to my brothers and my men and those who are listening out there. First of all, you listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here with Apostle Dwight Bynum and his wife, Stephanie Bynum, and they're from Shekinah Glory Deliverance Ministry. Also, I wanted to give a shout-out to Jesus Lives Ministry in Hanover, Maryland, and also share that they have an upcoming marriage event for 2017. It's March the 24th through the 27th, 2017, and the cost is $320. We're going out to Chantilly, Virginia, Staybridge Suites out there. It's going to be going out there for 2 days, and we're going to fellowship. This is the third annual, and me and my wife are the last one, so we do encourage you, if you're listening, to check them out, give them a call. It's going to be a time of fellowship, a time of teaching, a lot of things. The last one, it was a blessing. It was encouraging. You know, some marriages and things were there. People were helped. Because, again, when we talk about marriage, we have to understand that, you know, we have to be around folk sometimes in our lives that enjoy being married. You know, even if your parents weren't happy, your auntie and your crazy uncle, they might have been together for 40 years, but, you know, it just ain't something you want to illustrate in your life or repeat in your life. And that's where we come together, the body of Christ, as believers, and celebrate marriage. Iron sharpens iron. When you're around, if your marriage is struggling, you want to lean up on a strong marriage so your marriage can get right. So we encourage you to reach out there. You can call the church at 240-421-0313. Also, you can always go to Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook and get the link there for the retreat that's coming up. So we just want to encourage you and put it out there for that. Amen? Amen. Well, then tonight, we're going to go back to what we're talking about tonight. Pastor Stephanie, I want to come to you. Share a little bit. How is your church contributing to the community there in Fort Washington? What's going on? How are you engaged down there?
We do quite a bit in the community, because I believe that's what one of the purposes of the church that is. So we have sponsored or linked up with a shelter where we provided free computer training to the women at the shelter. The shelter was located in D.C. We have different type of drives. We have food drives, coat drives, anything to, you know, try to meet the needs of the community as well. We've had a back-to-school supplies for kids to go back to school as well. We do a gamut of things. We have this thing each year, what we call is a Mother's Matters Walkathon. We are one of the sponsors for that. And so each year the purpose is probably different. It's either to help a family, help a group of women, help mothers to become mothers, or, you know, help them as they are mothers. We have also done mission trips to Florida to give kids the world. Give Kids the World is a facility where they, it's kind of like a Disney World for children who are facing, what's the word? Facing
different
illnesses. So it's kind of like a, and it's free to the kids and the family. So you can go down there to volunteer at the facility as well. So we've done missions trips as well. So we've done quite a few things. Relay for Life, Martha's Table. We're pretty active, and we try our best to meet the needs of our community.
Amen. Well, that's good to hear. You know, I always, you know, I know we met through Next Step and Linda Shaw, but you know, to hear a church that's out in the community and engaging. And we need that because, again, you know, there's sometimes we get encouraged that because we sometimes we have to be careful not to get into ruts and traditions, to get outside the four walls. Apostle, I know you said it too. It's about discipling. And if we teach people to serve, people will serve. And unless we really get to that point where we're not selfish, we're willing to give of our time, you know, we talk about, you know, giving of our talent and time and our finances. Sometimes for some folk, it's easy to give money, but it's hard for them to give some of their time. And I think that's one of the areas in the body of Christ we definitely have to be able to, again, I believe that's one of the weak links, because folk always make time for what they want. And it's not necessarily the things that glorify God. What do you think, Apostle?
Yes, sir. You know, that's a good point there. I say it all the time. People do what they want to do. Like you said, they make time for what they want to do. And you're right, it's not always glorifying God. But I think that's where accountability comes at. And when I grew up, I always remember that there was always accountability from the head to the, you know, the old people used to say from the front door to the back at the church. You know, the old mothers had a way. They would just look at the pastor, and he knew he was wrong, so he just kind of got himself in order. Now, you know, the way the church is structured, you know, there's nobody telling nobody really what to do. It's like, you know, I put my pants on like you do. But the reality of life is we have to all hold each other accountable. As your congregation, I tell them, if you see me doing anything wrong, as your leader, you have the right to come to me and say something to me. You know, you might you be respectful, but you still have the right. Because if I see you, I'm going to say something to you. You know, and especially with men, we have to hold each other accountable and get them to stand up to being a man. You know, I worked at the prison for 14 years before I did policing, federal policing. And what I realized was leaving the military, if nobody is holding you accountable, if nobody is trying to get you to come up to a level that has set a standard and to hold that standard, people will not stand at that standard. They will pick a standard that they could just get by with.
Amen, sir. You know, Apostle, I want to talk a little bit about this accountability thing, because again, I think sometimes in the church we mix up accountability with judging folk, and I think this is how, you know, I was taught and I understand that, you know, when we talk about judging folk, is sometimes if we're in fellowship, if we're connected, and we talk about accountability, like you said, I think there's a difference between I'm judging you, like I'm condemning you into hell or whatever, or you not saved, to the point where, no, I want to encourage you, lift you up, and help you overcome whatever the stress and the burdens that you're dealing with in your life. And I think that's where we folk get it mixed up. People think they're judging them, because I personally think it's the way we approach the situation and the importance of what we say, also what we always say in our men's groups, that, you know, you have to have someone in your life who you're going to listen to, things that you're going to listen to, that you respect and trust, and then when they tell you that you're wrong, you're ready to hear it. If you have no one in your life that can tell you that you're wrong, I don't care if you're 15 or 55 or 85, or usually if you're 85, you got a wife or somebody straightening you out. But We need that. You need that. We need that. We need that accountability. And I think, again, because sometimes we have superficial church, that's where the struggle is, because we're not really building those relationships. What do you think, sir?
I think the relationship part is very important, like you said. Like when I was coming through ministry, and I still call, where he's an apostle now, my spiritual dad, and one of the greatest men I know in ministry, and I can still call him or tell him I need to stop by. And he's always been the dad that say, hey, this is what you need to do. This is not right. Even when we go up to the mountains on our men retreat, it was always, trying to bring us to a level of understanding that, I'm not going to pacify you, because at this time in your life, I'm trying to teach you to be a man. And being a man is being able to accept from another man that been there, been through it, that you were wrong. Not condemning you, but trying to get you to see where you need to come up to another level. We were just sharing this at church yesterday. We are born a male. That doesn't make us a man. And being a man, it comes certain responsibilities. And not just some men think because they pay bills that they the head and they control stuff. No, it's more than just paying bills. I have to understand when I'm wrong myself as an apostle. I don't know everything. I only know what God's allowed me to know. So I tell people, if I can't take constructive criticism, how can I grow? How can I mature? So therefore, I need to be able to, like you said, set back. I used to always say it this way. If Mike Tyson had somebody that would have set him down and say, hey, at the time when he was younger, he would be in a different position than where he at now. But everybody wanted what he had, and nobody wanted to tell him the truth because they were scared that he would stop taking care of them.
Jesus.
which happens with us a lot, as men in church. It's like, I don't want to hurt their feelings. And the first thing they say, well, you judging me. Well, to me, that's a cop-out. That's a way out. I don't want to hear the truth. So when people don't want to hear the truth, they either say, well, God said this to me, or are you judging me?
Mm-hmm.
I tell people, if you look at the word discernment in Hebrew, it means to judge. I tell them, I'm a fruit inspector. I'm going to inspect your fruit regardless of what you say. And if you don't have no fruit, you can't get mad with me. You should be upset with yourself.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Stephanie, I want to bring in your perspective here, because, again, when we're ministering and in church, and speaking into sisters' lives and single mothers and women who are struggling with a lot of issues, is it as hard? Let me ask you that. I'll come that way, because I know what it's like to deal with brothers. But is it as hard for women, or do you see is it the same struggle when it comes time for when we're talking about accountability?
I think women are a little more receptive to what one has to share with them, and especially receiving it from someone who has been through that same thing. And that's why it's important for people to know that, if God tells you, it's okay to share, because you're going to help bring somebody else up out of it. So, the truth will make you free. So if you tell the truth, if they hear the truth, they won't get free until they hear the truth. So they have to be able to hear and understand and accept the truth, because that's their deliverance right there. That's how they're going to get free. So, but I believe that women are more receptive to hearing the truth coming from another woman, especially. But I don't think they're as hard, because men has that stamina where that, well, you can't tell me anything. They got that toughness going on. Well, women don't have that. And women want it. They want the truth. I believe women more want the truth from me dealing with women. And I've seen a lot of women, get free. from other women ministering to them, from myself ministering to them and telling them the truth. So I don't think it's as hard for the women as it is for the men. And it's all just that mindset that the men have, that they really do need to let go and know that the truth will help them. So I think once they get beyond that, you know, through the teachings that they receive, I think the men will be better off. But no, I believe that the women are more receptive to the truth in, than the men are.
Amen. Well, let me ask you this, though. Let me, I'm going to make this harder for you because you made it sound so easy. How about we? what do you see? Because talking to the younger generation, because we know how teens are. Those early 20s, late teens, when they're at a place where that you know they're trying to find and identify themselves. Because that's one of the things as I say this again, talking to young men. We have to gauge them because some of their youthful and naive insecurities tend to get in the way. Do you see that also with young women sometimes that you have to get through some of their some of their shell, their masquerade, their facade. That's what I'm looking for. Some of their facade to really get to them to be able to engage them on some of the important issues that you bring in as an experienced woman that can prevent them from making some bad choices down the road.
Right. And, you know, the younger ones, they are hard. When I say they're hard, they have that mindset, oh, you can't tell me anything. Or they just a little tougher as these days as they were back then. It seems like the younger ladies are just a little more tougher as if they, you know, have to put on that toughness and don't want to get broken down. But, you know, but they can be broken down as well. It's just a matter of allowing God to use a person and how to approach them. Because you can't approach each person the same way, you know, because each person has their own individualities. So therefore, you have to allow God to tell you how to approach that person. One person, you probably can go straight to them and tell them. And another person, you probably have to work your way. But either way, the younger women are a little tougher than some of the, you know, older ladies per se. But they can be worked, Deacon Farr, you know.
Amen. Yeah, I agree. Again, this is why it's called ministry, and it's not for everybody because, you know, it's the stuff that people see from the pulpit. I was told a long time ago by a pastor, Sunday morning's easy. It's the rest of the week that ministry gets as hard. But, you know, that's just me. Amen. Yeah, listen, this is Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here with Apostle Dwight Bonham and his wife, Pastor Stephanie Bonham, from the Chicago Glory Deliverance Church in Fort Washington, Maryland. Could you give your contact information again one more time for our audience?
Sure. We are located at 11410 Livingston Road, Fort Washington, Maryland, 20744. Our phone number is 301-292-2351. Our website is the full name of the church, Shekinah Glory Deliverance Church.org. We are also located on Facebook at Shekinah Glory Deliverance Church. And I am located on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope as well, and on Facebook as well. So you can reach us all in all types of ways. And I would like to encourage you to please look at our website each month to see what type of services we have, because we invite you to come out and fellowship with us. If not on a Sunday, we have Bible study on Wednesdays, and we will also be having Friday night services.
Amen. And I'm here. I'm trying to find your website. Oh, I found you on Facebook. Okay, cool. Amen. But again, let me say this. I do appreciate you taking time out and joining us tonight and sharing. I pray that what you're sharing tonight encourages folk. And folk, if you're in the Fort Washington area, if you don't have a home church, we encourage you to reach out to them, join them for one of their service times. And check out their Facebook page and their website, and and again, and connect with them. One thing I wanted to share, one more thing I wanted to touch on with both of you, is talking about one of the things that sometimes where it all starts in the head. So what is important to you in the leadership of the church? What do you see there as the importance of the leadership and who's there and how leadership is run? What do you think?
Being an example and living a life according to the word, allowing people, you know, not being, you're not running a boot camp per se. You're running, you know, you have a church, you have a ministry. You know, if God set you there, because there's some who are there that God did not call, but you have some that are there. But if God set you there, then God has expectations of you. Your members have expectations of you. You know, it's not them serving you, but it's you serving them. And leadership has lost its way. Some leaders have lost its way. And expecting that the members' job and the members' position is to serve the leaders. But that's not been an example. That's not Christ-like. That is not how God has ordained this to be. We ought to be servants of them. We're in the pulpit, so we ought to pull them out of the pit. It is not for them to sit up there and serve us. So it's about being a good example and living a life that's according to the word.
Amen. Apostle, what do you think, sir?
And so when I think about leadership, well, I'm a little stickler for leadership because, like I said, I've been under, I think God trained us to be who we are from, I believe, a child to where he's taking us. You know, for me, I was in the Club Scout, the Boy Scouts, the military, and then some of the jobs I had, it was all structure about leadership. You fall in authority. You've been able to take orders. And I believe what happens is that a lot of people, we run and we hear and we become preachers and we not have the proper training to be prepared. You know, one of the things God said to me, you know, are you ready for this thing that I'm preparing you for? Because a lot of people, I find younger preachers want to just jump into it and never had any leadership ability. And the first thing I found out about leadership is that first I'm a servant. My job is to be a servant to the people, you know. And I think we get not to build people, you know, look for people to do everything I say, but look for them to follow what God is allowing me to show them. To me, my life is an open book. God called me to come to the place of leadership. But now as a leader, I am only good as the people that I train to take the position that I'm in. So for me, I'm not trying to stay where I am. I'm trying to prepare somebody else to come in and take over way before it's time. You know, even if God don't allow, they should already be prepared in case something happened to me, that they are ready to step in and be ready to go at a moment's notice. Because if I don't train them properly, I have not done my job. My mother prepared me as a child. She started training me about finances and preparing me. So when I got to a certain, when I got ready to leave home, she knew that I would be okay. So now I take them same training that my mother and them taught me, and I try to train other people. And leadership to me is me sowing into the people everything that God has given me. You know, not that they have to serve me. People say, well, don't your armor bearer? No, I carry my own Bible. They say, well, you robbing your armor bearer. No, I'm not. My armor bearer job is to pray for me, not to act like he my butler. His job is to intercede, to be an intercessor. And I can carry, you know, I can carry my own thing. You know, I could drive myself, you know. I know some people like it other ways. But I don't need I need people to intercede, and I need them to understand. And plus, what are you doing? You're even growing their prayer life. You know, but that's to each his own. But for me, that's what I see as me being a leader, me training other people to know how to lead. And if you're not a servant, Jesus always served. It's about servitude.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, again, I want to thank you all for taking time out and joining us tonight and sharing your vision and your mission and your passion there at Shekinah Glory, and I pray continued success. I have one brother here. I got a caller here. I think this is a brother. He might want to add something or ask you a question. Praise the Lord. Brother Boone, are you with me?
God bless you, Deacon Farr. God bless you, Apostle Stephanie and Dwight Bynum.
Amen, sir. You had a question, you, or you want the two for the apostle?
Yes, actually, I have a statement, and the statement is that I am truly, truly intrigued by your ministry that you have. You seem to, not seem, but you show that you cover A to Z of what the Lord wants the church to do inside and outside the walls. So I'm very, very happy to actually hear that from both of you, especially with the education and background that you have and just life in its own self and dealing with the, so many assets of what God's children, and I am just very impressed by such, and I do have the address, and I hope to visit one day. Thank you.
But thank you, Sam. We would love to have you there one day, and we believe and definitely believe in, you know, meeting the whole man. So we have things such as real estate classes. We have you know, home buying services. We have we had a representative to come out to teach about the different insurance type policies, because a lot of people don't think about, you know, nurse, you know, if something happens down the line, and about nursing home insurance policies. So we have all different types of seminars to help the people, you know, in their whole life. And everything that we do is free. We don't believe in charging anything. Because that's not what God will have us to do. So everything that we do have is free. So definitely visit the church website each month as well, and look at the, and you can find a calendar there, which will list all the different services and the different seminars that we may hold. And thank you so much for those encouraging words.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Boone. I appreciate you, bro. You're one of my number fives. You're on my list. You're moving up the list of faithful listeners, brother, so I encourage you. Amen. Well, Apostle and Stephanie, again, we're going to go around, and you can share your closing closing statements. And Apostle, if you could, you could pray us out. Again, you're listening to Deacon Thomas Farr, and this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. Our guest tonight was Apostle Dwayne Bynum and Pastor Stephanie Bynum from Shekinah Glory Deliverance Church, and we were just sharing on their vision, their passion for their ministry there in Fort Washington. We encourage you to reach out to them, visit them, and again, you know, it's the body of Christ. If you don't have a home church, or you know someone in Fort Washington, you're trying to send them to a church where they can, you know, they can get what they need to get from God and be used as a vessel for God, we encourage you to reach out to them. Amen. Well, Apostle and Pastor, if you have some closing statements, and then Apostle, could you close us out in prayer?
Well, I just would like to thank you, Deacon Farr, for extending the invitation for us to come on your show. And we look forward to hearing your future broadcasts with all your other guests and maybe returning back as well. And we look forward to seeing you as well, Deacon Farr.
Deacon Farr, thank you. As my wife said, we thank you for this opportunity, and I wish you Godspeed, and pray us out right quick. Heavenly, most gracious, eternal God, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, thanking you for this ministry, God, Deacon Farr has taken a part of. We ask, God, that this ministry, that you would show him favor, and that the favor of God would just open up doors for him, and every door that you would open, God, that he would walk through with boldness. And every opportunity, God, that you would uplighten and enlighten people through him, that you would continue to raise up men and give him a word right now in season that will empower men to stand up, come up, and stay up in the place that you have called us to be. We thank you for such a man and such a time as this, that he is doing the work of the Lord. And we thank you for every listener tonight, that you will, God, allow your anointing to heal, deliver, and make free in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We call it done. In Jesus' name, we say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. God bless. And we'll talk to you real soon. Thank you for joining us tonight. Amen.
Hello, Jesus, Jesus, children, Jesus loves you, Jesus, children. Hello, children, Jesus loves you, of America. Are you here?